On today's episode of Maize and Blue Corner, we welcome Scott Bell onto the show. We also talk Michigan football recruiting, answer your mailbag questions, and list our top three favorite fast food items. Enjoy the show.
Yep. And we back.
Welcome to episode 7 of Maize and Blue Corner. As always, if you have not subscribed yet or left us a rating, we would really appreciate it if you could do that. Whether you're listening on Apple, Spotify, or YouTube, give us a like and a rating and hit subscribe. We've all worked our tails off on this podcast, and all those subscriptions and ratings, they really do help us out a ton. And if you know anybody who might like the show and enjoy this type of content, if you could, just please tell them about us. I will be your host today, Max, aka Wolverine Corner. Joining me today, as always, is Ben Cooper, and we have Ryan from UM versus Everyone. Jacob was able to do the interview with Scott Bell, but was unable to record the rest of the podcast with us today. So Jacob, if you're listening, hurry back, or we're going to have to replace you. We are recording this on Monday night, May 25th. Happy Memorial Day to everybody listening. I wanted to start off with the golf match yesterday between Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning versus Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady. I was just wondering, did you guys watch it? Do you care? What are your thoughts on that? Ryan, go ahead and start us off.
So I'm not going to lie to you. I did not really watch that golf match the golf match. So I don't really have any comments on here that'll be wholesome or really add to the conversation. So I'll just let Ben explain.
All right. I did watch the last hour or maybe I think 2 hours of it. It was entertaining. I mean, if I'm being honest, I think this might be unpopular, but I think golf is just not. It's very fun to play, but just watching it, I don't know. I mean, nowadays with there being just no sports, it was probably the most entertaining golf match I've ever watched. Maybe besides Tiger winning the Masters, but I thought it was pretty entertaining. I was actually rooting for Tiger and Peyton, which may be a little unpopular to many Michigan fans, but I'm a big Tiger fan. And I mean, it's just golf. It's not Michigan at really. Those are my thoughts.
Yeah. So I am a huge golf fan, as some of you guys might know. I follow the PGA Tour regularly. I watch golf all the time. I play golf all the time. So I was definitely tuning in. I watched about the first hour and a half or so, and then I actually went to go play golf, so I didn't catch the end of it. It was pretty awesome in a time where there's no sports right now. There's not a lot of stuff to watch on TV that's sports related. I thought it was really good. It was a really good production. I loved how the players were mic'd up. We got to hear everything. The commentary was really good. I was rooting for Tom Brady and Phil for multiple reasons. Number one, I love Tom Brady. Number two, I'm not a big Tiger Woods fan. I never have been. And Phil's awesome. Phil's hilarious. And as far as Tiger, I know that's going to be super unpopular, but like I said, I'm a diehard golf fan, and I've never been a Tiger fan. I openly root against Tiger. It is what it is. It's probably one of those, you know, hating greatness type things where you don't really have a reason to. I have no problem admitting how great Tiger Woods has been. He changed the game of golf. He made the sport better. He continues to make the sport better, but I'm not a fan, and I typically don't root for him. But the Tom Brady shot that he holed out from the fairway, that was pretty cool. And then him ripping his pants, I don't know if you guys saw that. That was freaking hilarious. And
I wish I caught that live. That was oh my God.
He was tweeting and joking about it afterwards too, which was pretty funny. But overall, I thought it was great. I don't know how many golf fans are listening to this, but it was so well done that I can definitely see more stuff like that happening in the future. Maybe pay-per-view, maybe just special things on TNT like it was this time. But who knows? It was really fun. And if you're a diehard golf fan, I'm pretty sure that you were pretty pleased with how the whole production went. So moving away from golf onto more Michigan's, you know, related things. Michigan just got commitments from 2 4-star linebackers in the last 2 days. Junior Colson committed yesterday. Jaden Hood committed today. Just wondering how everyone's feeling about that and what you have to say about that.
Honestly, I think that this is great for the class, just as it would be if 2 3-star linebackers committed. But since it's 4 stars, I know that people were previously worried about this class because there's JJ McCarthy and then there's a few other guys
like 4 stars. And then the talent level kind of like dips off a little bit, not that much. But I think that these two linebackers are going to help this class a lot. They're probably going to end up being a position of need in the future. So I definitely think that this is a great thing for Michigan.
I mean, I'm for the more talent, the better in my eyes. I think there are no negatives in my eyes, and yeah, I'm excited. I saw Jaden's commitment video. It was probably top five for me commitment videos I've ever seen. Just the way the cartwheels. I mean, you gotta love it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna talk much about the players individually. That's not my expertise. I fully admit that I don't follow recruiting all that closely. I used to when I was younger. I was really, really into it. And as I've gotten older, I've definitely gotten away from it. I'll just mention that for Don Brown, this is huge because this whole class, the offensive talent in this class has far outweighed the defensive talent in this class. Michigan, we've been kind of waiting for Michigan to make a couple defensive splashes in this class. And it was really nice to see Don Brown pick up a commitment from two of his top targets. So it was huge. And again, I'm not going to talk much about Colson or Hood because I don't have much to say about that. It's not like I've scouted them or anything. But I will say this. In the future of the podcast, we are going to have better recruiting coverage. We're going to do a weekly recruiting update where I'm going to have somebody on here where we're going to do a quick rundown of if anybody's committed, we'll talk about them. We'll talk about new offers, visits, who we're trending up for, stuff like that. I tweeted out something, I think it was yesterday, asking if there was anybody who just lives and breathes Michigan recruiting and if they would want to help out on the podcast with a weekly update. So look forward to that in the future. Definitely going to see an increased coverage in recruiting from us. So moving on there, we're just going to get right into this week's interview with Scott Bell. He's definitely a man that needs no introduction, and we really do appreciate him taking the time on Memorial Day to do this interview. So I really hope you guys enjoy it.
All right. Well, today we have Scott Bell, very special guest, obviously. Many would possibly call him the king of Michigan Twitter. So thank you for coming on, Scott.
Yeah, thanks y'all for having me.
All right. I guess we'll just jump right into it. We got some more Michigan related questions to start off for you. So for you, what would be your favorite game that you attended at Michigan Stadium in Chrysler?
Oh, boy. Michigan Stadium, probably three choices. When I was a freshman, which you guys need to remember that I'm old. So this was 2004, 2005, whenever I was a freshman, the Michigan State game, the Braylon down 17.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a tough one to beat just because it was such a great game, but there's also the sentimentality from it. My buddy I went to the game with wanted to leave in the fourth quarter. I talked him out of it and still kind of give him crap about this about that to this day. The next year was Michigan Penn State, the Manningham catch on the last play of the game ruined Penn State's undefeated season. So that's always great. And I haven't been there for a lot of Michigan-Ohio State games that ended well, but Michigan-Ohio State in 2011, the last one they won, I went there. So any of those three, but probably Michigan State from the Braylon game, just because it kind of holds more sentimentality to it.
Yeah. All right, and Chrysler?
Chrysler, years are going to be hard. So again, I was in school from the Amaker era, so there weren't a ton of great games there. 2010 or 11, I don't remember which one it was, but I flew back for that, and that was a win. But I guess 06, Michigan beat Michigan State when I was covering the team when I was a sophomore. So I wasn't there as a fan, but it was still a really cool game to cover. Michigan beating Michigan State was a big deal back then. Izzo had the opportunity to talk to him after that game, and he was upset. So from a personal standpoint, that was always enjoyable too. But most of Michigan's success has been once I've been in Texas. So the best Michigan game I've seen was Michigan Kansas, the Sweet 16, the Trey Burke shot, because that happened down in Dallas, but that wasn't Hensler. So most of those good things aren't Chrysler related.
All right. Now, who would be your favorite player of all time for Michigan sports?
The easy, don't overthink it answer is Charles Woodson, just because of everything that's happened there. So I'll give another answer, but I think anyone could say Woodson and have that be right. But Mike Hart always holds a special place because he was there when I was there. I like people that kind of spice things up, talk a little shit, have some swagger and everything. So he was always a fun to cover. So and he scored all that little brother stuff. So he'll get the check for this question.
All right, now we'll move forward there, and it's basically the same question. Who would you think is – oh, this is different. Never mind. Who would you think was the best Michigan football player since Jim Harbaugh's taken over as head coach?
Actually, I think I answered this in my newsletter last week, but I would go with Mo Hurst. I know a defensive tackle isn't exactly the sexiest answer to give, but I think what he accomplished and sort of the drop off they've had since there kind of shows what he's done. I mean, Jabril Peppers is obviously an easy answer. He's the only Heisman candidate, but what Hurst did, how he contributed, and for the length he did it, I'd actually give him the nod. He's having a great pro career too, and I think he's kind of forgot just because of his draft slide a bit, but I think Hurst is probably the most decorated and the most productive over the course of his whole career.
He slid really, really surprised me. That was like something that I was like, this guy was one of our best players like this entire time, and he slid that far, I think, to the third round. That was just really surprising to me.
Oh, it's insane. And good for him, because his second contract's going to be where he makes all the money, and he's playing and he's going to get that. But you feel terrible for Michigan guys any guy who has those draft slides. But like, what happened to Jake Butt? What happened to Mo Hurst? And what happened to Peoples Jones even this past year? You want to see these guys successful. You want to see them get paid. And how short people's NFL careers are, you want them to get that big contract as early as possible. And it's nice that Mo was going to get paid, because he also came back and played a year when he didn't have to.
All right, now transitioning to basketball a little bit, Michigan has certainly had a interesting offseason, a lot of big recruiting class and a couple of transfers. So with all these new additions coming in next year, who are you most excited for?
Yeah, there's a lot of ways you can go. I probably just go with Hunter Dickinson, who I know is a friend of the pod, but I think he's kind of overlooked just because everyone was always talking about Christopher and Todd. But if you look at Dickinson, I mean, he would have been, I think, the second highest recruit if you count him in during the Beeline era, give or take a spot. I might be off on that, but I think I've made some sort of chart on that. But the fact that there were these huge five stars coming in and Hunter Dickinson was quote unquote another guy is obviously not the case now. He's the most decorated guy coming in, but I don't think he necessarily has the hype surrounding him that he would have otherwise if there wasn't all this hoopla around Todd and Christopher, if that makes sense. But I think he's going to be great. I think it's going to be a position of need, and I think he's going to give kind of a Howard friendly skill set to this team that people forget Juwan Howard sort of took what he got out of the John Beilein era. He hasn't really got to recruit his type of guys in, and I think Dickinson's going to fit in really well in Ann Arbor.
All right. Well, again, back to football. Sorry for like these switches, but how much longer do you think it will take for Michigan to beat Ohio State?
Oh, God. Well, no matter what I say, I'm sure Ohio State Twitter will be down my throat if it's not completely accurate. But it's tough because Ohio State keeps getting better. I think an upset's going to happen. They've happened on the other side of things. I mean, the Devin Gardner game where he's playing with a broken foot. They went for two there. That could have been an upset. Michigan's been very close when they weren't the better team, and obviously Ohio State during a lot of the Cooper era, some of the Lloyd teams, the higher ranked team didn't always win. So Michigan's due to be on the right side of an upset at some point, but it's hard to pinpoint a year where they're gonna. I mean, Michigan's not going to be the most talented team for a long time. I don't think this year is going to be it because it's at the Horseshoe. You got Justin Fields. Maybe the next year Fields could go pro. But Ohio State's got a lot of talent coming in and turning. I will say I feel comfortable that I don't think Ohio State wins four more consecutive. But to say, oh, 2020 is the year, 2021 is the year, 2022 is the year, I'd basically be predicting an upset that single year. So I don't know which one it is, but I do feel comfortable saying by the time both of my kids are out of diapers, that'll happen. I just hope they potty train quickly.
So would you say this recruiting class that is coming in next year will have a win against Ohio State at some point?
I will be very surprised if this recruiting class doesn't pick up a win at some point against Ohio State.
All right, that'll work.
I'll go ahead and mute my mentions right now. And
oh yeah, well, when this releases, maybe they'll hear it. Well, Michigan Ohio State, we don't even know for certain if it will be played because we heard Michigan's president talk about if football will be, Michigan football won't get played if all the students are on campus. So will Michigan football be played with this year? And if so, would it have fans?
Yes, I think it will be. I think people are overblowing the interview with Michigan's president in the Wall Street Journal a little bit. Because if you look at what he's saying is sensible. I mean, if the standards for X are going to happen, well, then here's why. I think he's just talking from like a public perception. Hey, I'm the head of this university type thing. He's just kind of being a voice of reason, but I don't think the way he's looking at it is much different than any other Big Ten school. Now, will that hurt Michigan in recruiting? Because you've got like Auburn's president basically handing kids a 30 pack of Natty Ice and telling them to go to a frat party right now. Yeah, maybe, but the rules are the two sides are kind of playing from a different or with different playbooks. So I do think they're going to play. I don't think Schlissel's comments were an indication that things are kind of the arrow is pointing the other way. Cause I really think the moves that have been happening in the last couple of weeks, the arrow really is pointing the other way. It's kind of trending upward, and I'd actually be pretty surprised if football isn't played. I think a lot of the size of crowds, where things go isn't really an athletics question. It's how things are going around. But as long as schools are testing athletes and doing it at a pretty frequent pace and there's availability for these tests, I don't think it's going to be a lost season because these schools and these conferences absolutely need football and the revenue it brings to stay alive. So I think there will be football. I think there will be fans in some capacity. I don't think we're going to see 100,000 in the Big House every home Saturday this fall, but I do think it'll be somewhat recognizable college football. And I feel a lot better saying that than I would have said a month or 2 months ago.
So obviously you have one of the biggest followings of all like Michigan fan related accounts. So I kind of want to know what it's like to be one of those accounts that like all the Michigan fans kind of like look at and say, I know that guy.
It can be good and bad. It's cool to have to go to like a Michigan event or something and have someone recognize you or talk, or it's just it's cool to have like that sense of community and fun, flattering in a sense or whatever. There can be some annoying parts. I think if like the larger, whenever you're dealing with the larger a group gets, the more of a chance you have to catch a fair amount of morons in there. And whether it's people within the Michigan fan base or from rival fan bases, you're going to get some annoyingness too. I'm a lot less engaging in terms of like getting in back and forth with people and kind of just talking about anything in depth, because my mentions are kind of just a wasteland of terribleness a lot of the time. But that's why I kind of launched my newsletter, and that's kind of, I'm kind of looking at things in the sense of I can have serious conversations about football and like actually break things down and talk to relatively sane fans there, and Twitter is kind of just going to be a playground for have fun, like stupid little not serious banter, and that's kind of how I'm going to separate those things. So it's fun. It can be annoying, but I also know that I kind of brought a lot of that upon myself. So it is what it is. I think it's a net positive still. But
yeah, I've seen a fair amount of people on Twitter get mad over your tweets. So it's so I can bet that your mentions are pretty bad most of the time. Also, going off of that, what is your response to a bunch of Ohio State fans going after your graphic with like how Michigan has 6 of the top 10 non-OSU recruits?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that example is probably the best, most indicative example of what I'm talking about, in the sense of I post this thing with perspective like this. I've the past 2-3 months I've been doing recruiting stuff and talking about how Ohio State has this opportunity to have like this transcendent class, like maybe the greatest recruiting class ever from a numbers statistical standpoint. I've written various things in newsletters about it. My State of the Michigan program thing was about how Michigan needs to like what Michigan needs to focus on, because it's not necessary or it's not realistic to say, hey, just replicate Ohio State. So I'm trying to come from things from like a measured, realistic standpoint. So I did I sent out this graphic of, hey, these are Ohio State's class is incredible, but these are the 10 best players in the East with Ohio State excluded, more or less to show, hey, Michigan has 6 of the top 10. Penn State only has 1 of the top 10. Maybe this Michigan recruiting class that everyone was freaking out about a couple months ago for being so bad is, hey, Michigan's pretty clear number 2 in the East. And I know Twitter isn't really necessarily the place for nuance in a 280 character burst or whatever, but it's like one Ohio State fan or writer, which sometimes they're the exact same thing, retweet something out, and then everyone, it's just like derp derp derp, and it's just a flood of whatever. So that's kind of the exact I appreciate you guys bringing that up, because this, it's kind of the case study of why I just don't even want to analyze things on Twitter, and I'll just kind of use the newsletter for that, because it's been fun busting balls like in what has followed, and if someone takes a shot at me, like I'll chirp back and have a good time with it or whatever. And it's kind of cured a little quarantine boredom over the last 12-24 hours or whatever, but it's also just incredibly annoying to see like the same avatar popping up on my mentions, but it's just a different person. But it's like Zach Smith fan 420 OSU, and like saying the same thing that this site said, and it's just a cult.
Yeah. Sports Twitter and college Twitter is definitely a mixed bag. So I mean, it's interesting to say the least. Also, it's kind of on the same track, but do you like attempt to make Michigan State fans mad, or do they just get mad because you post something? Because I know that you're like very infamous in Michigan State Twitter everyone knows who you are, just like the Michigan fan base. But do you like say things to like try and like poke fun at them, or do they just simply get mad just because you're Scott Bell?
Yeah, look, I'm not going to play the victim card here. Like, obviously, I'll agitate and like try and frame things in a way that's going to piss them off and like get a reaction and stuff. So who am I to say, oh, this isn't fair that they're going after me because I said this thing, where obviously the end goal is to like get under their skin. So in that sense, yes, of course, I try to make them mad, and it's fun to watch. But at the same time, like, I think I kind of have this reputation of being this, oh, this complete savage who's like tearing people apart or whatever. And if you look at what I say, like, I'll say things and I'll frame things in a way that like makes Michigan State people mad, but I'm not like taking personal shots at people and things like that. And in the last couple of months, like I said, I used to just kind of get in real back and forth with people, and I'll say, hey, Rutgers has a better recruiting average than Michigan State, which is A, hilarious, and B, true. But then if someone comes back and be like, yeah, well, you make like $6.50 an hour, and like, I bet your kid's ugly or whatever. And I'm just like, okay, well, I'm just going to block you. Like, I'm not like, there are Ohio or Michigan State people and Ohio State people that I love bantering with, because they can like come back and like say something like, I like to think that what I say is clever. And if what someone comes back at me with is clever, like, that's fun. That's banter. But if someone's just going to be like taking shots at me, or like, oh my God, did you know like your hairline's receding? And I'm like, yeah, because I have a mirror. Like, I know that, but like, what does it have to do with football? So I'm just kind of out of the personal shot game now. And I used to like even take that as a badge of honor. Like, if someone's so mad at me that they're going to like call my work or like sign me up for like these email lists or whatever, like, okay, yeah, I really got under their skin, and like, that's cool. But at the same time, now it's just like, it's a little annoying. So yes, I'm not innocent in this. Yes, I do think what I do is different than what they do, and I try to just keep it sports, but I don't think I'm a victim or a martyr in this or anything like that.
Yeah, and I see that, because like, I can see like definitely in your tweets how like you'll, exactly as you said, you'll frame it so it's like it's only sports, but it's meant to like try and get a reaction out of them. And I honestly, I find that hilarious. But I can that. Just the fact that people get so mad over that to try and take personal shots, that's just amazing to me.
And it's whatever. Like I have thick skin, and it is what it is. But it's like, you can see where people like have issues with social media and Twitter these days, just because like, for other people, it's a lot to take. And for innocent people, like, there are writers who aren't taking shots, aren't taking being adjective. And you look at like what these ESPN writers have to deal with every time they're reporting on a story about like sexual assault on a campus, where like, they're not only not taking shots at people, they're trying to like make the world and like these universities a better place. And you have like Michigan State fans or Baylor fans or insert school Y fans going and just taking shots at these people because they're attacking like what their school does. And it's just like, it's ridiculous to me. And Michigan Twitter is not absolved of this either, because all this Anderson stuff that's happened at Michigan over the last couple of months, and Michigan's just as guilty as having a decent chunk of their fan base trying to kill the messenger too. And I think that's I don't know if we're allowed to swear on here, but I don't care for it. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. And then it's kind of on the same page, but do you ever find any difficulty in balancing your personal and your professional Twitter pages?
No, I think I'm kind of recalibrating both of them a little more. Like, I'm toning, I think I'm probably toning this one down, not more out of necessity, but just like I've said, kind of, I'm just a little less active on Twitter on my, personal account. And then my work account, I'm trying to inject a little more personality in that because I think journalists can be a little boring and robotic and just kind of like pushing out links to stories. So I want to have fun. I want people to know that like these people that write these things and make these things like are actual people too, and I want to engage with people. But I don't have an issue kind of keeping them separate because my job's important, my profession's important to me, and I'm going to be professional if I'm like I'll recuse myself if there's any sort of conflict of interest or anything like that. But it's one of the reasons I like working in Texas because I'm covering teams in charge of these coverage areas where I don't care if these teams win or lose. Like I still like Detroit pro teams. I don't have a skin in the game when it comes to colleges down here. So I just like kind of having those two things separated, and I don't think it's that hard to separate them.
Yeah. And so moving a little bit away from Twitter and more towards like these non-serious pop culture type of questions. So we've gone top three movies in the past in a few of our past podcasts, but I want to ask you not top three, just what's your favorite music or movie? Sorry.
Favorite movie. I would say probably the most rewatchable movie or movie I've probably seen the most would probably be Step Brothers. I think it holds up fairly well. I guess if you go back to growing up, maybe Happy Gilmore would compete with that in terms of how many times I've seen it, how quotable it is. I am an old and washed individual now, so basically anything I've seen in the last 3 or 4 years is just a Disney movie because that's how we're basically parenting our children through quarantine, just having Netflix and Disney Plus raise them. So I'd say one of those.
All right. Well, there was recently a tweet that went around Twitter a little bit. It was like about some random team that you liked for no reason. So I would like to ask you, what is a random collegiate team that you just like? There's no reason why you do. You just like them.
It's kind of funny that answer was probably Texas Tech when I was growing up because I liked the Air Raid. I liked playing them in video games. And they've kind of become my in-state school here, but it's a little disqualified because I ended up marrying, like my wife went to Texas Tech, so I guess that sort of does have a reason now. I'd say probably a team out west because I love Pac-12 After Dark and it's nice to root for stuff. Actually, I know exactly who it would be. I would say Arizona State because they've done me some favors the last couple of years. In terms of creating content by knocking out Michigan State, and I like their uniforms, and they check the Pac-12 After Dark box too. So give me Arizona State.
Woof, that might get some people with about the whole Josh Christopher thing.
Well,
Arizona State it is. Lastly, well, we usually do a top three every episode, and this one is, well, here it is. Well, what would be your top three items from like any fast food place, like just all over fast food? If you get three items from anywhere into one meal, or just overall, what are your top three items?
I did fast food rankings in a newsletter a couple months ago too, but that was more kind of overall. I think Chick-fil-A is king. They're here in our backyard, and there's one probably every four blocks. So something's got to be from there. I'll try and spread the wealth though. So I'll just take Chick-fil-A mac and cheese. I think any of their entrees are good, but I think the fact that there is now a fast food mac and cheese that's actually not that actually tastes good is I gotta include that. Give me I gotta make some sort of burger take to be controversial. Give me Five Guys fries, because I know that's polarizing, and item three. How about, let's see, we got mac and cheese fries. Give me Fazoli's breadsticks, because there's nothing like going in there and just spending $3 on food, but sitting around and have them bring like 16 free breadsticks and gaining 15 pounds in a setting.
Yep. Fazoli's must be some type of place in Texas or around.
Fazoli's is like, was a Michigan thing, and it's one of the few places that's not down in Texas. So,
I've never heard of it. So,
it's fast food Italian. So, you know, you're not getting good food, but it's a good guilty pleasure.
All right. That'll do it. Thank you so much for coming on. So, yeah, we'll let you go and we'll carry on with the rest of our podcast. So, cool.
All right. Thanks, y'all. Thanks for having me. Have a good one.
Once again, thanks so much to Scott for hopping on the pod. We really appreciate it a ton. He's a great guy, knows and stuff. So definitely subscribe to his new premium newsletter if you're able to. I can promise that you will not be disappointed. Moving on to this week's voicemail and mailbag questions. Before every pod, we ask you guys four questions. So if you do want your question answered in the future, just tweet it at any of us or shoot any of us a DM, and we will definitely feature it on the next pod that we record. Here's the first voicemail question.
Hi, my name is Troy Davis. I'm from Trenton, Michigan. I'm wondering, why does Jim Harbaugh continue to struggle against Ohio State when he's bringing in top 10 recruiting classes? Ohio State's new coach came in, first day on the job, took two Michigan coaches. Harbaugh just stood back and did nothing. Why do these fans continue to stick up for Jim when he's 0-5 versus Ohio State, hasn't won a Big Ten title, hasn't developed a quarterback, has a losing record versus rivals, never won the Big Ten, hasn't been to the playoff, hasn't done anything relevant. He makes more headlines off the field than he does on the field. Why do these fans continue to stick up for this man? They should demand more at $8 million a year. Thank you.
Thanks, Troy, for that question. First of all, there's a ton to unpack there. So I don't think everything that you said was completely fair, but there was some fair criticism in there. Let's start off with the money that you said that he makes. Everybody talks about Jim Harbaugh making $8 million a year. He's not worth it and all that kind of stuff. I think that number is irrelevant. It's a number that Michigan had to pay to get him, and it's a number that Michigan can't afford. So I don't like bringing up money into the argument. I just don't think it's relevant at all. Secondly, your criticism for not beating Ohio State, none of us is going to say that that's unfair. You're right about him not developing a quarterback. That's completely fair. Harbaugh has recently admitted the exact same thing. But the fact is, Michigan's not far away. They're currently winning a ton of games. They're recruiting at a decent level. They're beating Wisconsin and Penn State at home. The road is a completely different story, and we can talk about that a different time. So I respect your question a ton, because I think that it accurately portrays how a lot of Michigan fans are feeling right now. Jim Harbaugh has not been good enough at Michigan. That's a fact, but he hasn't been bad either. And, he hasn't been stubborn about making changes. And I think that's important too. He's always changing to try to get better. So I'll close with this. For what it's worth, a lot of fans are starting to voice the same concerns that you are. And I've seen a lot of people hop off the Harbaugh bandwagon. It's year six. It's time for Harbaugh to show us something, because I don't know how many more Ohio State losses Michigan fans can take before, you know, this fan base completely turns on Harbaugh. So that was a good question. It's not an easy answer. And does anyone else have anything to add to that?
Yes, I'm not really going to say much. I'm just going to say that he's underwhelmed here. I wouldn't say that I don't think it's fair to say that he shouldn't be defended by anyone. I think that he's got a decent track record here. Like, not beating Ohio State is a huge thing, but I don't think that it's fair to just say that he shouldn't be stuck up for, because he's, after this year, maybe you might be able to say that if things don't go well, but as of right now, I don't think that all of these are fair accusations. Some of them are, not all.
Yeah, Troy, I think your question was tough. I mean, honestly, it was, I don't think it was completely fair, but it was tough, and it's how you feel, and I respect that, and I can tell you that for sure you are certainly not alone in anything that you said. So thank you for your question. Even though we may not agree with everything you said there, we do appreciate your opinion, and you're obviously more than welcome to call back in and leave another voicemail anytime. Let's move on to the second voicemail.
All right, so we all know Michigan has a quarterback battle between Joe Milton and McCaffrey coming up. Do you think it's possible to just roll out with a two-quarterback system since McCaffrey's so athletic and seems like he can play multiple positions if you really needed him to?
Thanks for that question. This was also a similar question to what I got in the DMs from at ZMady13. So I'll just kind of rephrase the question so we can cover both of what you guys asked. Let's just put it this way. Do you see Michigan running two quarterbacks this year? And then also, do you see them using Dylan in any kind of way at receiver or whatever the case may be if Joe happens to win the starting job? Ben, go ahead.
All right. Start off. Joe, Mr. Milton is not winning the starting job. So, I mean, I'm going to answer this question as if he would, but I mean, I think I have a better chance of getting the starting job than he does. I think Cade has a better chance, actually, in all seriousness.
Whoa.
But wow. That's a topic for another time.
Wow. Yes, it is.
I think Dylan is very athletic, but I mean, not only are his injuries an issue if he played like wide receiver or whatever, but I just think, I mean, just because you're athletic doesn't mean you can just translate instantly, especially with all the pandemic going on. I don't think he'll be able to just translate into a Big Ten wideout. I don't see it happening in my eyes.
I mean, it's happened before, and like, as you may know, Devin Gardner had to transfer to wide receiver after he was drafted or picked up by the Steelers. He didn't play as a quarterback. He played as a wide receiver at like their camp. But the fact of the matter is that I think it's completely possible if Milton wins the job, or even if McCaffrey has the job as the starting quarterback, that we can see McCaffrey play at like maybe like a wide receiver type thing. Just kind of like Taysom Hill, or kind of like how I'm envisioning that the Eagles are going to end up using Jalen Hurts. But I see him playing most of the snaps at quarterback, and then like every once in a while you can run him over to wide receiver if Milton shows that he's good enough to be able to play inside of a game to try and throw some people off. I don't think that he's going to be a great wide receiver. I think that he's going to be a good piece that can throw them off because he's so athletic that I think that he can here's where I differ with Ben. I think that he will be able to translate to it. I don't think he'll be up to levels like maybe Nico Collins, but I think that he'll be able to be a respectable wide receiver if they choose to use a two quarterback system, kind of like Taysom Hill.
Okay, so there's a lot to unpack in this question too. So I'll start off with, I'm not sure, when people talk two quarterback system, you know, there's two different ways you can interpret that. Are we going to be using two quarterbacks, let's say, on alternate drives, or are we going to have a specific package for one quarterback? Are we going to see both quarterbacks in the game at the same time? We don't know the answer to any of that. So this answer is going to be pure speculation. I don't think we're going to see a two quarterback system. And
yeah,
I don't really see that either. I think that's mostly because, again, this is speculation, but I think it's mostly because Dylan is going to win the starting job. So I don't think it's really going to make sense. For example, if Dylan's your starting quarterback, do I envision them having a package for Joe Milton to get snaps? No, I don't, actually. If Joe Milton wins a job, do I envision a package for Dylan McCaffrey? I do, but I don't think that's going to happen, so I don't really want to talk about that. As far as McCaffrey possibly playing wide receiver, if Milton plays the, you know, if Milton wins a job, I don't know. Maybe. I think you're more likely to see a specific quarterback package, like a Taysom Hill type thing, than you would be seeing McCaffrey move to wide receiver.
Yeah.
Exactly. I just don't think it's going to happen. I don't think, and you know, if McCaffrey wins the job, like I said before, I mean, where's Milton going to play at? There's no package that you're going to specifically throw Milton into that McCaffrey can't do probably better. So
yeah,
the whole thing is going to be, it's going to be interesting. Harbaugh and Gattis' job are to play their best players. I get it. Obviously McCaffrey's a little bit more versatile, but I don't think you're going to see much of a two quarterback system.
If I'm going to be completely honest with you, I think that it's possible that we could see Dylan McCaffrey play a wide receiver, like a slot receiver type thing, when if Milton wins the starting job, or even if he comes in. I think it's possible. I don't think it's going to happen. This is Gattis's offense, so we've only seen it for 1 year. I don't know if it's going to happen because we're used to seeing Harbaugh run this offense, so it's possible. I think it's possible. I don't know if it's going to happen, but in all seriousness, I think it's possible that Joe Milton, if he doesn't want to transfer, that for the year that Dylan McCaffrey is going to play starting quarterback, that he could play wide receiver. If you look at his size, he's got great size.
That's not happening.
I will say this. He's got great size. I understand.
He's 6'6".
I don't see him being quick enough. I mean, you're asking, yes, he's a great athlete, but you're basically throwing a slower version of Nico Collins out there who's never played wide receiver before. So I don't think
– and that's why I don't think it'll happen. But if he doesn't transfer, I think it's a non-zero chance.
Yeah, this is one of those, you know, hypotheticals that Michigan fans just get their mind going, and there's no right answer. Back to what I was saying, if Milton wins the job – the way that they're going to get McCaffrey on the field, I just don't think it's going to be receiver. I think there's going to be a specific wildcat, you know, package, mm-hmm. a McCaffrey, something where he's not going to be playing receiver. So we've talked enough about this. I don't know if we gave you the best answer there, but nobody knows. So let's definitely move on here. This question is a mailbag question. It came from @go_blue_13. That's Michael. He does all of our graphics. So, Michael, thank you for that question. He said, if you guys could team up with any pro athlete besides a professional golfer for a golf match, who would it be and why? I'm assuming this was inspired by the golf match yesterday. So I'm assuming that's why he asked this. So, Ryan, what do you think about that?
I don't know if any of you guys have ever heard of it, but there is a TV show out there right now called Holy Moly. It's basically like extreme mini golf.
Oh, isn't that like Steph Curry?
Yeah. So if you've ever watched it, you'll know that Steph Curry is the executive producer. He is a golfer, and I would take him mostly because basketball is like my favorite sport to watch. And he revolutionized the game. But not only that, but he's also good enough to where he could win us the golf match despite how bad I am at golf. So I would definitely take Steph Curry.
All right. That was actually a pretty good pick, but I'm awful at golf. I mean, I really enjoy it, but I'm not good at the sport. I don't play it enough to be that good. So I'm picking Aaron Donald because I know if I'm – no matter who I'm playing with – like, firstly, they're probably just going to let me win, realistically. If not, they're not talking trash. And if so, I mean, yeah, you know what's going to happen if you talk trash to Aaron Donald.
Okay, so my favorite athlete is actually a golfer. So when you said, like, or when Michael asked, you know, to not pick a golfer, that kind of sucked because my favorite athlete is a golfer. And Ryan, I did not talk to Ryan before this, but I actually had Steph Curry as my answer as well. He's my favorite basketball player. Always has been. And he's a big time golfer. This guy's actually played in professional golf events before. They had him on it's called the Corn Ferry Tour. It's basically the AAA of the PGA Tour. He made a cut in a professional golf event. He beat several professional golfers who do it for a living. So he's extremely talented. And I just think it would be a blast. So Ryan, I guess great minds think alike or horrible minds. Whatever you want to say there. Moving on to our next mailbag question. This is from Ryan Krause. If you could go back in time and watch any Michigan sports moment live, what would it be and why? I'll take this one first. It wouldn't shock me if somebody else has this exact answer, but I thought long and hard about this, and I really wanted to pick something besides the Trey Burke shot against Kansas, but here we are. So I'm picking that one. I can't think of another moment that I would want to see like live, like at the arena. I know maybe Michigan's, you know, national title back in 97, or maybe Michigan basketball during the Fab Five era was crazy. It'd be really cool to see one of those games. But if we're just talking about one moment, that's my favorite sports memory ever. Trey Burke is one of my favorite players for Michigan ever. So This was a pretty easy. As much as I didn't want to pick it just to pick a cliche answer, I picked it anyways because I think it would be that cool.
So mine was actually – that was like my second pick because I remember that and it was just such a big moment. And if I wanted to see a moment, I wouldn't necessarily prefer a game. I'd want to see one moment. And if I had to pick one, it's either Jordan Poole's shot again or Trey Burke's shot again. And I think that both of those environments are crazy environments. And the reason why I didn't pick a football moment is because I just prefer basketball over football. That's just me. But I would definitely either go with Jordan Poole's shot or Trey Burke's shot against Kansas.
All right. I was thinking about those two, obviously. I think those probably would be some of the fan favorites. We didn't discuss these, but I'm also going with another basketball one. I'm sorry for all of our football fans out there, but I'm going to have to go with Trey Burke's steal at home, Michigan State, Keith Appling. I mean, yeah. It's an iconic moment, and I mean, just being at Chrysler during that would be amazing, and just seeing all the U of M fans just go crazy would be great.
So I was at the Michigan-Ohio State game in 2013, so it was within, you know, I believe within a couple months of that game. And to this day, I just remember the atmosphere in Chrysler in that Ohio State game was the best I've ever seen Chrysler, ever. And I've been to Chrysler 100 times, and that 2013 season was so special. So I remember what it was like against Ohio State when Hardaway went off in the second half and then Burke, you know, blocked Aaron Kraft to win the game and everything. So that I can't even imagine what it would have been like seeing that Burke and Appling steal with the dunk and everything. That would have been just I'm with you. That's a really good answer. So if you guys haven't been able to tell yet, we're obviously all big basketball fans. We obviously love Michigan football, but I think the majority of us on here kind of lean towards basketball. Next question came from. Let's see, who's this from? It came from @Zelly_Bean. He said, if Michigan beats Michigan State and Ohio State next year, but somehow doesn't win the Big Ten, would you consider it a successful season?
So this is a question that I've heard a lot, but I don't think that there's any good answer to this. So I know that the fan base is completely divided on this. I've seen several polls that show that. And just in my opinion, I would say I would be disappointed, but I would say that the season is successful because I value the win over Ohio State and Michigan State. I value the wins of our rivals more than just winning the Big Ten. I don't know how we'd lose the Big Ten in that case if we beat like our biggest opponent. Other than if we lose to Penn State, but
we could lose the championship game as well to whoever comes out last.
But in my opinion, because of what we've seen from Harbaugh and just being like 0-for, I think 5 against Ohio State under him, I would say that would be successful.
All right, I think this is a pretty easy question in my eyes. I think it's easily a very successful year. I mean, I would assume that if we're beating Michigan State and Ohio State and we not win the Big Ten, that we would lose in the Big Ten championship. That was just how I inferred the question. So, I mean, if we beat both of our rivals and we make it to the Big Ten championship, I mean, that's the best year so far in the Harbaugh era. And I don't even think it's that close. So that would easily be a successful season in my eyes.
Yeah, so I agree with you guys. This was a good question. It was an easy question, but I think it was a really good question. I'm glad you asked it because it lets us kind of explain the value of the win over Ohio State. I agree. I think it would absolutely be a successful season. Now, of course, if they went, 6-6, would it be a successful season? Maybe not, but we're going to try to keep it realistic here. So, assuming they went 10-2 or 9-3 with a win over those two schools, I don't understand how anybody would say that that's not a successful season. That would mean a win in Columbus against Ohio State probably would spoil their playoff hopes. And if they didn't happen to get it done by winning a Big Ten championship, then so be it. You could probably say that they made it to Indy. You could finally say that Harbaugh, got over the hump against Ohio State. So, yeah, that's a successful season for sure.
Honestly, I couldn't have said it better.
You know, hey, thanks, Ryan. I appreciate that. So moving into our moving into our last question here. There's another mailbag from Brandon Carpenter. I had to throw this one in here, so I'll take this one. He asked me, "Is your phone adequately charged to make it through the day?" And I'll answer that. Of course, it's not. No.
Why would you expect otherwise?
Yeah, no. If anybody follows me on Twitter, you know that. My phone hovers between 1% and 11% pretty much all hours of the day. I typically forget to charge it at night. I don't know why. You would think that would just be a habit that I can break. So I'll usually wake up in the morning and my phone will be at like 4%. And then just throughout the day, I'll just charge it just, you know, intermediately here and there just to get me going for a couple hours. And no, of course my phone's not charged enough to make it through the day. So Brandon,
why would you even ask that?
Yeah, come on, Brandon. Let's ask good questions here going forward. No, but
what are you expecting?
Yeah, come on now. No, there's this every once in a while I'll go back and I'll search Twitter for everybody that has tweeted at me to charge my phone. And I'll just retweet everybody. And we're up to like 45 different people now that have told me to charge my phone. So yeah, I need to get better at it. It was actually one of my 2020 New Year's resolutions, which I have just epically failed at so far, which is okay because, you know, most people do fail the New Year's resolutions. So, but you know what? It's not too late to change. So maybe I'll get better. That was our last question. We appreciate everyone who asked. We got a ton of questions in today when I put out that tweet. So if we didn't answer your question on this one, it'll probably be on the pod that'll be out Friday morning. So keep an eye out for that. We're going to move on now to our top three of the list, or our top three of the week. This week, it is top three. Did you just yawn, Ben?
No, it was a preparation for my list.
Is my voice boring you that bad that you have to yawn right now?
I apologize. It's past my bedtime.
Holy hell, man. Ryan, we're putting Ben to sleep right now. We're about to do our top three.
Wow.
Ben's about to fall asleep on us.
Bro.
I think that's an automatic exclusion.
They're sleeping on me. They've been sleeping on me on my list. So, I mean, I just had to be on them.
All right. So, moving on to this week's top three. This is top three fast food items. So, this is, you know, you can pick one item from any different place. Any fast food place goes. So top three fast food items. Ben, let's hear your list.
All right. I'm very, very elite at these lists. I've heard from many people, but
definitely.
To start off, I have an honorable mention. Fish filet from McDonald's. It definitely would be on my list if I didn't. I read something. I think it was like New York Times or something like that, and it was like the fish filet is like the worst item on the menu, like health wise. Yeah. So I couldn't put on the list.
But let me interrupt you right there. I actually almost had that on my list as well. But we're in this big Michigan group chat that I've mentioned. It seems like every single podcast. And one of the people in that group chat, his name is Tyler. He works at McDonald's. God. He works at McDonald's. And he told us that the fish filet is like the most disgusting thing, like before you cook it. Like it just looks disgusting. So he said he would never.
Like it he said, good.
He said he would never eat a fish fillet, and I love them. But I'll tell you what, since he put that in the group chat, I don't think I'm ever gonna eat another one. I don't know why. I'm gonna trust a guy that works at McDonald's. So sorry for interrupting, but Ben, you can continue.
Yeah, that's pretty much the exact reason. It's just I've heard it's very disgusting. Another thing, I've heard from many friends that Cane's is elite fast food. Never been so. Make sure you know that when you listen to my list. But starting out with number three.
Hey, hold up, one more. I'm gonna interrupt you one more time. I'm sorry. We had Jordan Strack on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and this man is obsessed with Cane's. He claims it's the best food on earth. So shout out Jordan Strack.
Yeah, there you go. I'm gonna definitely have it sometime if I'm ever out there. But number three, In-N-Out Burger, the 4x4 burger. It's so good. In-N-Out. I mean, it's weird because like so many people think it's overrated. But I mean, I just can't agree. I think it's very cheap and it's very, very good. Starting with number two, I debated putting this on the list simply because some people may not agree that it's fast food, but I had Qdoba Burrito Bowl. with the tortilla on the side.
I mean, that is 100% fast food. If anybody says that it's not, then they're just being ridiculous.
I think Tyler may
have and it's and Justin that. Too. Justin claims that that's not. Oh my God, they are so annoying. All right.
Oh Tyler.
One day we'll get them on here to discuss. But you got to get the tortilla on the side. I mean, people who order burritos from like Chipotle, Qdoba. Like it's just not
a lot of food. You're just doing it
wrong. Yeah, I agree. It's just not smart. So that's my number two. Number one, it's my pleasure to present the spicy chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A. I don't get the deluxe one. I'm kind of broke, but I usually get like two of those. If you have you got to get the Chick-fil-A sauce on the thing. And it's so good, bro. It's so good. If you haven't had that, like just go.
Solid list. I don't think your list is gonna get roasted this week. But you've been on a pretty good roll lately.
So. Yeah, pretty good.
So my list is I have one similar one, but we'll start it off here. Number three. So it's the breakfast McGriddle from McDonald's.
I just which one?
Like the either bacon or sausage. I'm not going to specify here because
the McGriddles are very good.
I like them both. Very good. Sausage. You know, whether it's a sausage, egg and cheese, bacon, egg and cheese, whatever, they're just elite breakfast items. So I have that on my list. Number two, I have the Baja Blast from Taco Bell.
Oh my
God. So
Baja Blast, dude.
Yeah. So there was hold up. There was a time where not that long ago, where the only place you could get a Baja Blast was at Taco Bell. Now it's become all popular, and you can get them at stores and everything like that. Baja Blast is so elite. That I just whether it's and I'm not even going to specify whether it's the freeze or the pop, it doesn't matter, they're both equally as good. So that had to make my list. Oh Baja my Blast. God. Hey, are you saying it doesn't belong on the list?
I'm saying
the best part is that I think that the best part is that this has been on it's been a topic on like past podcasts.
It's also like not food. Like imagine just like
it's, going it's to Taco top Bell. Three items, fast food
you're
items.
Going to Taco Bell and the thing you're like most craving, you're like, yeah, I'm gonna get this fucking.
I cannot tell
I've
you
done
how
that
many,
before.
I'm gonna get
I cannot tell you how many before. Times I've pulled through Taco Bell, gotten zero food, and just ordered a Baja Blast.
No, fucking, you're.
I swear to God, it has been. I'm talking like more than 10 times in my life have I gone.
I'm gonna attest to this. I'm gonna side with Max here. I have asked to go to Taco Bell just for the Baja Blast.
Before. Exactly. Thank. Yeah. I'm not like I won't even be hungry. Like I'll be. I don't know. It's
you're
elite.
Just in the mood for it. It's just something that you have to have at some point.
It is an elite fast food item for sure. And number one on my list, I have the regular Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Oh.
I don't like spicy foods. I'm a wuss. I don't. For example, Chipotle is too spicy for me. I can't eat there.
Wait, what? Wait, you just the whole restaurant?
Rice? No. Listen. You guys do not understand how bad my tolerance is for spicy.
No, but
food.
Like you can't.
Listen. I'll explain. The chicken and the steak are both too spicy.
Shut up.
It's grilled chicken.
All right,
here's another example of how bad it is for me. When I make like taco meat at my house, like I can't use a full packet of taco seasoning. Like,
oh my
god. Oh my god. Because it's
oh my god. You can't even use mild?
No, I use mild and even the mild.
Oh my god.
Dude, white people get way too much like they get a lot of slack for not being able to eat spicy food, and you're not helping this at all. So I apologize.
No. I am very Caucasian white. Viewers. Yeah, no, we're not trying to be stereotypical. We're just trying to be funny here, but it is very white. I admit it. Like my dad, he loves like jalapeno poppers. Like I tried a jalapeno popper once from Arby's, and I like throw it was too spicy. So yeah, everything on that at the Chipotle menu is too, even the meat is too spicy. So,
wow, it,
like spicy chicken nuggets? Nope, can't eat them.
Wait, never thought I'd hear Chick-fil-A, that in my life.
You put the sauce on the Chick-fil-A sauce, though, right?
I don't like Chick-fil-A sauce.
So you just go like plain?
The regular Chick-fil-A sandwich, the number one, just with pickles and nothing else. That's what all I want.
That's
on my sandwich.
You're seven. That's what a seven-year-old would order.
Listen.
I'm not trying to.
No, I get it. I will embrace the hate right now because I am. It's ridiculous. I admit that it's ridiculous. So, yeah, that's my list. Sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddle or bacon, Baja Blast, and the original Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Okay, so my list is kind of similar to both of them, but they're pretty different. So my first thing, the first thing I'm going to say is that I did this kind of like 3-2-1, as in it's going to be like a meal, not just top three.
Okay.
But fair. So the first thing that I'm going to get, so I guess this is my number three, is Baja Blast.
Oh,
It's just the drink that I want with a meal that I'm going to get. Like Max said, I've asked to go to Taco Bell just to get Baja Blast, not for food.
I once DoorDashed a Baja Blast.
Oh my god, that shit would probably be like 20
bucks. It's good. It's good. It is very good. And when you're in the mood for it, you're in the mood for it. So
the DoorDasher asked me, they're like, "Is this all you got?" I said, "Yep." And I tipped her, and I literally just got a Baja Blast. That was it.
Do you get Baja Blast Zero or regular?
So it depends on how much I'm worried about my health at the moment. I will say this, Baja Blast Zero smacks. So if you haven't tried Baja Blast Zero, try it, because it's just as good as regular Baja Blast.
That's scary.
Okay, and then my number two is, it's going to be a little unpopular, but it's going to be Chick-fil-A nuggets instead of the actual sandwich.
Grilled or fried?
In my opinion, I believe that Chick-fil-A nuggets with honey mustard is undefeated. Mm. That's my opinion. That's what I'd want kind of like as a side. And then my main course, my number one, is a Five Guys burger with only mayonnaise.
Wait, what?
With mayonnaise and cheese. Guys,
bro. Just mayonnaise and cheese. I love it.
Bro, yes, I fucking hate you guys.
I'm not one to make my meals complicated, I guess.
No, that's
I prefer
question.
It simple.
And I would say
so
this too.
I'm gonna go with just the burger with cheese. I don't really care what cheese. Give me any
like
cheese.
Like American? It better not be American.
It can, dude. I don't care what cheese it is. It can be Swiss. It can be American. It can be cheddar. It can be Colby. I don't care. Just the burger, and then just mayonnaise on it.
The craziest
and I'll eat
thing
that.
About like that burger is like that's your number one fast food, and I don't think I'd eat that. Like, I don't think if someone gave me – that sounds – like, I would add stuff to it. That sounds so disgusting.
Here's what I'll say about that. Whenever I'm talking about just cheeseburger, like, I don't want lettuce and tomato on my cheeseburger.
Exactly.
I don't like it. Like, I like lettuce and I like tomatoes, but, like, not on my cheeseburger. Like, I want cheese.
Exactly.
Like, ketchup, possibly, like, mayo. It doesn't bother me. I'm not a big mayo guy, but, like, I don't want my burger just, like – No, like, that's not how burgers should be eaten, in my opinion.
Exactly.
I'm cool with onions, though, to be honest. Like, if you want to throw a couple onions on my burger, that's fine. But
I don't mind onion. It's just, like, I prefer my meal simple. And that's how I'm going to do it.
Okay. I'll give Ryan some slack because he's a younger one, but you're an adult who eats a plain Chick-fil-A sandwich with no sauce.
Correct.
Not even the deluxe. All right. I'm sorry, but that's disgraceful in my eyes.
You know what? I'm going to go a little off topic here, but, like, I kind of eat how I dress. Like, I dress really plain, and I, like, I'm just a pretty casual, plain guy.
So is that, like, why, like, if I met you in person, so, like, if I'm ordering what you were ordering, I would probably throw up. So if I saw you in person, like, would I just throw up?
If you met me in person, Ben, you would walk up to me. I'd be wearing – like cargo shorts on and like a plain Carhartt t-shirt, like just with the pocket and the Carhartt symbol, and I would have probably like New Balance tennis shoes on, and then I would literally go to like Wendy's and I would order like a chicken sandwich with no lettuce, no tomato, and no mayo.
Oh my god!
Just like a bun and chicken while I'm wearing my plain Carhartt t-shirt and we would hang out.
Now, if you don't think that just a plain cheeseburger is enough, I do sometimes get the bacon one, but it just costs more. It just costs more, so, and it's worse for you. So I prefer to get the cheeseburger. But
I have a hot take here, just because I've heard people talk about it in the group chat. An egg does not belong in your fucking cheeseburger. Like, I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
You don't even think lettuce belongs on your cheeseburger. So I don't know about your opinion.
Stop putting a fried egg on your cheeseburger.
I completely agree with that.
I'm going to be real with you guys. We're talking fast food. Obviously, I'm not eating a fast food egg on a burger. But if we go, if you've been to Blimpie Burgers, you're a real Ann Arborian.
That shit hits so differently.
If you're at Blimpie
if you're not going to fast food, then I would definitely get other things on it. But if it's just fast food, I would like a lot of these cooks are getting paid like minimum wage or around it. So I would prefer just to have it simple. But if you're going to a place that like specializes in like Blimpie or like Zingerman's, I'm gonna order something off their menu and I'm gonna eat that whole thing. I'm not gonna like,
Egg. Like, so I live right by an Applebee's, and I know Applebee's. Some people love Applebee's, some people hate Applebee's. That's not the point of this. But whenever I go with my friends to Applebee's, they will order the breakfast burger, which has an egg and hash browns and ketchup. And I don't understand. Like, that's not a burger.
To me, that sounds disgusting.
Anything
from Applebee's is pretty gross. I'm gonna be real.
I fuck with Applebee's. Their boneless wings are slept on big time. Like the boneless wings, those smack.
Bro, if you're ever in Michigan, like I think if you're ever in Ann Arbor, I can just show you like good food. Like
First of all, I'm in Ann Arbor a ton. I live 45 minutes from Ann Arbor.
All you got to do is just point them to Zingerman's, and then you're set.
Dude, Zingerman's isn't top five. Zingerman's
is the greatest food in Ann Arbor.
Wait, which one are you talking?
I'm talking about the sandwiches.
Oh God, dude.
I get the sandwich with like brioche, bread, turkey, honey cup mustard, and just like cheese on it, and it's so good. It's so good.
I'm gonna stick to my Applebee's.
Maybe in a couple of episodes, if we have someone from Ann Arbor, we can have a little Ann Arbor food competition
I'll tell you what, we're going to bring on Justin here. I'm going to interview him and Tanner sometime this week. So I know Justin's been living in Ann Arbor for forever now, so he might have some good takes.
Oh, Mr. Spots. If you haven't gone there, go there. It's very good. They have a really good chicken Philly. They have a Philly and chicken Philly. Both of them are amazing. And
I feel like Ben is roasting our food takes right now.
Ryan, you guys are almost grown. Oh, Max is a grown man. Ryan is almost a grown man, and you guys fucking eat just a plain burger with mayo.
Sometimes I go to restaurants and I order chicken strips and fries. I don't think that's a big deal. Like,
if you're like on a date hypothetically,
then I wouldn't be going to fast food.
Well, all places have chicken fingers and fries. What would you order?
Definitely not that.
What's your Zingerman's order?
What's my Zingerman's order? It's what I just told you.
You've never been to, like, the Roadhouse. Never mind. Okay. Maybe.
No, I haven't been to Roadhouse.
Roadhouse is superior.
But
If I went to, like, Texas Roadhouse, I'd order, like, a sirloin.
Ooh.
Oh.
I don't eat very much red meat, though, so I can't
I don't
order.
Like steak. So.
I mean, I love steak, but it's just not – I can't eat it, so –
It kind of tells a lot about us, our podcast, that just like when we go through the regular sections, you know, we're not really rambling that much. Obviously, we do a little. We get to this food section, bro. We go crazy.
It's what happens in the group chat a ton too. I'm telling you, one person brings up food, and I'll close my phone and I'll open back up, and there'll be 105 unread messages about food.
I mean,
I'm scrolling through all these messages. And I'm trying to get caught up, and it's like, oh, this food's trash. Oh, bro, this food smacks. And it's like 100 messages about food. I'm like, what the hell? We only have like 20 people in that group chat. Like, what are you guys? Come on now. So food is a touchy subject for sure. I can tell you that much.
Now, if there's one thing that we can all agree, it's that boneless wings are better than bone-in because you don't have to worry about eating the bone.
Yes, that is facts. There's not enough difference in taste. Where the bone
is. Difference in taste.
Yeah, I agree with that. But some people will swear that there is. But even if there was a difference in taste, the inconvenience and the messiness of eating a bone-in wing does not outweigh like eating just a simple
I would rather just be able to just
grab that boy with the fork.
Yeah, and just take a bite out of it.
And not to mention more, there's more meat with boneless wings. Exactly. Like you're getting more food. So, I mean, I don't understand. Well, we can. There's nothing more annoying than the people who say traditional wings are better than bone. Like that is a hill that I will die on. That just order boneless wings.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like there are people that it's one of those like things where like it, I don't know what you, it's like a stereotype where if you order boneless wings, like that's childish. I'm like, what are you talking about?
It's just, I'd rather not have to eat around the bone.
It's the same thing when like adults or people that are in college, like won't watch Stranger Things. Cause it stars a bunch of kids. They're like, that's a fucking kid's show. Silly. I'm like, have you ever, like how, that is not a kid's show. So, we are so off topic right now.
Yeah.
we are going to wrap up this podcast. Like, I mean, we could go on for days about this. But there are some really good questions that we didn't get to that I'm going to throw on next or on the podcast that we're going to record Thursday. It'll be out Friday. So definitely look for that. And with that top three list that turned into a food tangent, we're going to close out this list or we're going to close out this podcast. As always, I'm going to throw out a couple shout outs here. Shout out Quentin, our editor. You're the man. Shout out Michael.
4K views. My man Quentin is viral.
He is, man. He is viral. And he deserves it, too. Quentin's awesome.
Yes, sir.
Shout out to Michael for doing all of our graphics. You're the man. We appreciate you. Go follow him at go_blue_13. Shout out Scott Bell. As you guys heard, he gave a great interview, really, really detailed, thorough answers. So we really appreciate him taking the time to do that on his Memorial Day. He definitely didn't have to. And as always, I'm going to throw out a shout out to Lil Dicky because Lil Dicky deserves it. And if we're not shouting out Lil Dicky, who is? That's what I'm saying. So shout out Lil Dicky. I feel that.
Freaky Friday was a vibe in 2 years ago, whenever it was.
Bro, his Hulu show right now is
Dave. Amazing.
Love his name. It's just like so relatable in my eyes. It's just great name.
I'm sure it's very relatable for you. Happy Memorial Day to everybody listening. I hope everyone's staying safe. I hope you guys are all enjoying the warmer weather. And as always, thank you guys for listening. Go Blue.